What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. We're so glad that you're taking time to listen to today's message. Northview is a place for you to grow closer to others and to grow closer to God. We would love to meet you in person and have you visit us at any one of our campuses. You can find a campus near you or get more information about Northview by visiting us online at northviewchurch.us. Now, let's join our senior pastor, Steve Poe, for this week's message.
We do something at Northview called At the Movies. I'm sure the majority of you have been at one of those, At the Movies. We started this a couple years ago, and when I first introduced it to you, I said, I know that you don't know what I'm talking about or what I'm doing, so I had what I called a coming attraction so that I could show you all what At the Movies was, and then after that, we kicked into the series. The movie I used, for those of you that were here will remember, was the movie The Martian. The story is about a crew of astronauts that have been working on Mars when they're forced to abort the mission because of this fierce storm that comes up. One of the crew, Mark Watney, which is played by Matt Damon, is injured and lost. The last signal from his spacesuit indicates that there is no signs of life. So with Watney believed to be dead and the storm continuing to worsen, they were forced to leave Watney behind. Later, they discover that he is actually alive, and they decide to risk their own lives to go back and rescue him. At best, it meant that there would be another year and a half in space. At worst, it meant that they would all die. But after all, this was someone they loved. This was someone they cared about. So how could they not go back for him? At the same time, back on Earth, members of NASA, as well as a team of international scientists, were working tirelessly on this mission to rescue this one guy. Watch this scene. See, guys, I think the message of this movie touches on something that is at the very heart of God. And that's, how far are we willing to go to rescue that one person that's far from God? I've said this to you many times before. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, I still believe Jesus would have come and died for you. But I also want you to understand that God intended life to be an adventure. Hear me, Christians. Those of you that are believers, you've stepped across the line of faith. Do you understand that faith is an adventure? Do you understand that God wants your life to be an adventure? You will never be more alive than when you're living out God's mission. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Friends, as your pastor, my heart's desire is for you to experience that fullness of life, for you to experience abundant life. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to live a life on mission for God. And then on week six, we're going to do more than talk about it. We're going to do more than talk the talk. We're going to walk the walk. We're going to go out and serve the community in our Good Neighbor Weekend. Now, for those of you that who are our guests today, every year in the fall and September, we do a series of messages towards spiritual growth, and we call it our spiritual growth campaign. This year, we're calling it GoPro. I know that's an unusual name, but the name, it comes from an American company that makes and sells these wearable action cameras. In fact, our video guys use this all the time. I've got one right here. This is a GoPro. This is a video camera. And so right now, see, they're a pretty cool little deal. In fact, remember last year, some of you remember at Christmas, we did a deal with Wish TV where I went out with Brooke Martin in a police car, and the police would pull these people over, and they thought they were getting a ticket, and then we would come up and give them money for Christmas and bless them. And Jason, our video guy, hooked a GoPro to the outside of the police car. Oh my gosh, he made some really cool footage as they would come on him. But anyway, very, very cool. Video camera is what that is. What's cool about this company, I think, is that instead of hiring some big name or personality to represent their product, what GoPro did is they made it possible for anyone and everyone to live out their own adventure and then to communicate it to the world. You see, what they've done is they've created this website, and listen to this, where they have had over 6,000 videos a day posted. Over 6,000 videos a day are posted of people recording their own skydiving, drone flying, shark riding adventure. And it's actually gone viral, and it's become the top YouTube brand in the world. And that's why we say, well, you know, what better imagery than GoPro to talk about what Christ has done in our life, the parallel to the adventure and exhilaration that comes from you and I accepting the challenge to live out God's mission. So today we're going to talk about the mission of God and what that really should mean to us. And so let me start with Colossians, where it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see, lower story, and the things we can't see, upper story, just such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Everything was created through him and for him. I've quoted to you many times before, but I love the opening paragraph to Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And he says, chapter 1, paragraph 1, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. So this is what I think every believer, guys, this is what I think every believer needs to understand. You and I are on a mission. See, that just kind of goes over most of us. We don't understand that. You know, we've accepted Christ, we've stepped across the line of faith, but we don't understand what happens after that. What happens after I invite Christ into my life? You are on a mission. And that mission is the mission of God. So then what is the mission of God? Well, we talk about it all the time. I tell you oftentimes that there is a thread that runs through Scripture all the way from Genesis to Revelation. The entire Bible is the story of God's relentless pursuit of mankind through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. You see God continuing to pursue us. We reject God. He doesn't give up on us. He continues to come after us. God wants to be in relationship. He wants to be in relationship with you, and he wants to be in relationship with me, and he wants us to be in relationship with each other. So he intentionally reveals himself to us. And yet throughout history, we see mankind continue to rebel against God and do their own thing. And yet God doesn't give up on us. In fact, he continues to pursue us. He's established a covenant. We go back to the Old Testament. He's established a covenant with Abraham, who then becomes the first missionary. Now, a missionary is one sent with a message. It's one sent with a mission. Abraham was literally the first missionary. You remember the story of Abraham, where God tells Abraham to pick up your family and to go. He's like, well, where am I going? You just trust me and go. Pick up your family and go. And we see the story in Genesis chapter 12. Where he says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. That's important. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God says, I'm going to bless all the families, not just the families of Israel. So many times I've heard people try to interpret this passage and say, he's talking about the Jewish nation. He's talking about the Jewish people. That's what he means there. That is not what he's talking about there. It's not just the families of Israel. It's not just one geographic location. But he says, all the families of the whole earth will be blessed through you. God says, here's my plan. Here's my mission. So God's primary mission is to redeem for himself a people for his own name and for his own fame. God wants to be in relationship with you and with me. Let's move to chapter 22. Stay with me on this. And through your offspring, this is what I want to talk about, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. There it is again. All nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And so Abraham, he's slow to catch on, you know, and so God just kept repeating the promise. We saw it in chapter 12. We see it in several places before this, and we see it again here in chapter 22. God just keeps telling him, I want to bless your offspring. I want to bless all people will be blessed because of you. And yet Abraham is like, I'm not sure I get what he's talking about. But the reality is, I'm not trying to I'm not trying to dog Abraham. I think we can all be a little slow to catch on. What I mean by that is that God is saying, you know, once you step across the line of faith and invite Jesus into your life, I want you to live on mission. And we're like, yeah. And we go about our life. And we read a little bit further in Scripture, but I want you to live on mission. Yeah. But we go about our life. And so, guys, we're a little slow to catch on what it really means to be a follower of Christ. We're really slow to catch on what it really means to say, I surrender all, that I'm giving my life to you. We have to hear it over and over again until hopefully at some moment in our spiritual journey, we have one of those aha moments where we're like, oh my gosh, I get it. I had after the service, this last service, one guy came up and he goes, Steve, I'm that guy. I get it. I don't know why it's never hit me before, but today it hits me. I understand. I get it. So God expands on it to help Abraham understand it even more. Now, guys, I want you to get a hold of this because I think it's a big deal. So stay with me if you would. Instead of an offspring, the word offspring, I circled it up there. In the original Hebrew, that is singular. You say, well, what does that matter? It will. Stay with me. That is offspring there is singular, not plural. Some translations use the word, instead of offspring, they use the word descendants, and it's plural, but that is not an accurate translation. Verse 18 is talking about offspring singular. In fact, the New American Standard Bible is probably the most accurate to the original Hebrew language, and it says they use the word seed. Instead of offspring, they use the word seed, and it's also singular. All the nations shall be blessed. And yet at the time, I don't think people picked up on the importance of it being singular until hundreds of years later when a man by the name of Paul comes on the scene. And he's writing, Paul, the Apostle Paul started most of the New Testament churches. He wrote most of the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament he wrote. And he's writing to the region of Galatia. And he writes this in Galatians chapter 3. So he explains this to us. He says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds. Paul's saying it wasn't plural, it was singular. Does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, which is who? Christ. The promises were made to Abraham and his offspring, and who might that be? Jesus. Guys, Jesus is his offspring, the lineage, the seed of Abraham. So in this verse, Paul is saying, guys, Jesus is your hope. Jesus is the answer. I hear people say, but Steve, Jesus is nowhere to be found anywhere in the Old Testament. Oh my goodness, friends. Jesus is actually found all throughout the Old Testament. And this is just one great example of it right here. This shows us from the beginning of time, Jesus has been the means for God's mission. And that's why God said, I'm going to bless the nations through you, Abraham. Then hundreds of years later, Jesus shows up as the means of salvation for the nations. So again, God's mission is to the nation, and Jesus is the means. Then later on, it's all going to come together. Stay with me. Then later on, he raises up Moses to rescue the Israelites who had been in slavery for over 400 years. And then we also see him speak through the prophets. I'm actually going to do a series this fall on the life of Elisha, a prophet, and we're gonna see the correlation between Jesus and that. Then, of course, he sends his only son, Jesus, to bless the world. So we see in Luke 19, it says, for the Son of Man came, why? What was his purpose in coming? He tells us, he came to seek and to save those that are lost. That was his purpose, that was his mission. There's a lot of things that Christ did, there's a lot of reasons that he had, but his mission and his purpose was to seek and to save those that were lost. His desire is that all mankind would be saved. So we move on to Matthew. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Ask him to send more believers that understand their mission. That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples right there. He's like, pray that God will give us a spiritual aha moment where we understand our calling, where we understand our purpose and our mission. Listen, Jesus clearly understood his mission here on the earth. Do you remember the story in And Jesus and his family, he was 12 years old, and they're traveling to the festival, and they've been gone, and now they're heading back. Well, 2 days into it, Mary and Joseph realized Jesus isn't with us. And so they head back to the where they left him at the synagogue. And when they get in the synagogue, Jesus is 12 years old, and he's in the synagogue teaching the religious leaders. And so they say, you know, they kind of scold him, I'm sure, and they're kind of like, where have you been? What are you doing? And he looks at them, and do you remember what he says? I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. And then 21 years later, as he hung on the cross, what did he say with his last breath? It is finished. Guys, do you understand? Those are bookends. These two statements form the purpose of his life. Jesus completed the mission the Father gave him. So he's like, I must be about my Father's business. That began his mission, his purpose that God had for him. And when he said it was finished, that was the other bookend saying that it was finished. So now what? I'll tell you now what. Now the baton has been passed to you and me. That's why this series is so important. So it starts out, you have God has a purpose and a mission. God has a plan. And what does he do? He hands the mission to Jesus, his son. And then Jesus creates salvation by dying on the cross, rising from the grave. Then he hands the mission to the Holy Spirit, who is going to empower us as believers. So the mission then is passed from Christ to you and to me. So I don't know why he did it that way. I don't know why he didn't use angels. It seems to me like that would have made more sense to use angels. But instead, he's decided to pass the mission, the purpose, the plan of salvation on to you and to me. And so when you accepted Christ into your life, when you stepped across that line of faith, what did you say? You said, I surrender. I surrender to Christ. I give my all. Now, we talk about building the kingdom of God and how important it is. We need to build the kingdom of God. What does that even mean, building the kingdom of God? What it means is that we build the kingdom of God when God's people surrender to him. The kingdom of God is surrender, obedience of God's people. So when believers, when Christians say, I'm gonna fulfill the mission, the purpose God has for me, when we do that, we are establishing or building the kingdom of God. In fact, the English word mission is defined as the act of sending or being sent. In the Old Testament, the word send is used over 200 times with God being the sender, God being the one that sends us out to fulfill his mission. The same thing is true in the New Testament. We see it all throughout the New Testament. For instance, the book of John, we see the word sent used 60 times in the book of John alone. It says here in the 20th chapter, again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, God the Father passes the mission on to Jesus. Now, I don't know how much clearer Christ could have made it. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He's not talking to pastors. He's not just talking to disciples. He's talking to every believer, everyone that would step across the line of faith. He's saying the mission, my purpose now, I've done, I'm finished. Now I hand it off to you. It is now your responsibility. Again, guys, what we need to understand is that the mission Jesus had while he was here on this earth has now been passed to you and me as the body of Christ. What he did in his physical body by giving us salvation, by dying on the cross, we are now to continue that mission as his spiritual body, the church. Does that make sense? Oh, I hope so. The church is the last hope of the world. I talk about that all the time. It's like if we, and what concerns me in America, what concerns me around the globe is that when you look and you think, oh my gosh, we're the last hope of the world. We don't even understand our purpose. We don't even understand our mission. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to wake up spiritually and recognize, oh my gosh, we've been given the obligation. We've been given the responsibility to carry this mission forward. To help people step across the line of faith. And yet oftentimes we're just so indifferent about it. You know, it's like, well, I'm busy. You know, it's like, I'm so busy right now. Steve, you don't understand. I'm trying to do this and this and this, and someday I'll serve God. It's like, guys, we're talking about the kingdom of God. It's like, there is not any greater responsibility that you've been handed. None. There is no greater responsibility that you've been given than your mission. Living life on mission, that should be our number one priority. So again, what is that mission? Primarily to introduce people to Christ, to make disciples, or what we call the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion, it's the Great Commission, the great command, the great assignment or instruction. It was given by Jesus himself. In Mark chapter 16, he says, and then he told them, Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Guys, I could just stand here and give you scripture all day long. This is not just found in a few places. I mean, all throughout the New Testament, it is clear that we are to be sent out to live the mission. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So friends, as your pastor, how in the world can I help you to understand that you and I have been given the responsibility, the obligation to reach people in our life that are far from God? That's why we want to partner with you. That's why, guys, that's why we do friend days. That's why we do at the movies. That's why we do special services at Christmas and Easter. Why? Because we're trying to come alongside you to help you live on mission. We're trying to partner with you so that you can reach out to your neighbors, to your unchurched coworkers, and to your friends and say, come and see. Just come and see. So we're trying to work together because we're trying to live on mission. We know you're trying to live on mission, I hope. And so we need to partner together to do that. That's what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Listen, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. God wants to redeem human beings from Satan's hold, from Satan's grip, and reconcile them to himself so that we can fulfill the five purposes for which we were created. Did you know that there were five purposes for which you were created? Did you know that? To love God, to become like God, to serve God, to worship God, and to tell others about God. Those are the five purposes for your life as a believer. See, you just thought, I stepped across the line of faith and I got a ticket to heaven. I'm okay now. There's so much more to the Christian journey, to the Christian life, than just getting a pass to heaven. Or to love him, to become like him, to serve him, to worship him, and to tell others about him. And even though it's an incredible responsibility, it's also an incredible honor to be able to partner with God in building up his kingdom. Paul calls us, I just talked about it, but Paul calls us co-laborers. Co-laborers. We are partners together. And that's why, guys, as we're living on mission in our life, it's like we need to think about how can I work with my neighbors that are Christians to reach my neighbors that are to be an influence on the neighbors that are not Christians? How can I work with my co-workers that are Christians, co-labor together to reach, to be an influence on those that are not Christians? You know, there are several people in our church that have started life groups in their neighborhood, and they've invited all their unchurched neighbors to come to the life group. That's co-laboring together. That's what Paul is talking about. We are workers together with God. Now, please understand, this responsibility or mission of God was not just given to pastors or missionaries. It's so easy to try to brush that off and say, well, you know, he's just talking to the disciples. He's just talking to missionaries. He's just talking to the clergy. It has nothing to do with me. Nothing could be further from the truth. The message of the scripture is clear. It's to believers. The responsibility is to give unto every follower of Christ. Once you step across the line of faith, God then gives us his spirit and makes us his representatives. Let's jump down a couple verses. It says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of a country. An ambassador is a representative of an individual. It's, in other words, you're coming with the authority. You're coming with the authority to speak for the country. You're coming with the authority to speak for an individual. You have that authority. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Amen. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Listen, friends, let me just be blunt. To know the way to heaven and not share it with your coworkers, to know the way to heaven and not share it with your neighbors, to know the way to heaven and not share it with family that you say you love, I think is immoral.
Amen.
I just think it's wrong. Imagine, if you would, your neighbors just found out that they had a virus, that they had a disease that was going to take their life if they don't find an antidote. You have an antidote. You have the antidote, and somebody tells you about it. Your neighbor has this disease, this illness. You can help them. But you're like, you know, I'm just so busy right now. I've got so much going on. And, you know, maybe a week things will slow down. Maybe in a month things will slow down. But until it does, I'm just really too busy right now to go be bothered by that. And besides, how do I know if they'll even accept it? If I go over and offer them the antidote, how do I know if they'll accept it or not? Well, guys, isn't that kind of up to them? I'm just saying, it would be criminal if you refuse to let them know that you have a cure because you're too busy or because you don't want to be bothered with it. Well, guys, in the same way, if your neighbors and coworkers do not know Christ and are hopelessly lost and headed for eternal separation from God, the scripture tells us that we have an obligation or a responsibility to let them know. And that, my friends, is our God-given mission. That is your God-given mission. That is my God-given mission. So how does that play out? Well, let me show you. In Acts chapter 1, it says, there's a couple things I want you to see here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. There it is again. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Two things I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is our obligation to this mission is so much bigger than our circle of friends and family. I mean, yes, that's important. Obviously, the people in our circle, in our sphere that we love, we certainly, that should be a priority for us, but it's so much bigger than friends and neighbors. I can't tell you how many times throughout the years I've had people come up to me and they'll say, Steve, why are we spending all this money overseas? Why are we sending missionaries overseas? Why are we spending, when we've got all these unsaved people right here in America, why don't we focus on the people right here in America that need to hear salvation? Listen, guys. We have a responsibility to reach people that are far from God, regardless what part of the world they live in. Whether they live in Uganda, whether they live in America, it doesn't matter. And this is why we take short-term trips. It's why we support missionaries around the world, because Jesus said what? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's also why I get as excited. I'm just going to tell you, it's why I get just as excited when I hear 20 people, one of our teams comes back and says, 20 people in Uganda prayed to receive Christ. That excites me just as much as when we have 20 people right here at Northview pray to receive Christ. Our mandate is to reach as many people as we can, regardless of what part of the world they might live in. The second thing I want you to see in that passage, it says that you and I have been empowered. You and I have been empowered to do this mission we're called to. It says, you receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Listen, when you step across the line of faith and invite Jesus Christ into your life, the scripture makes it clear that the Holy Spirit empowers you. The Holy Spirit comes into your life at salvation. The disciples would have never had the kind of influence they did without the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. You remember, they're following Jesus. He's trying to teach them. They're following Jesus. They arrest Jesus. What do the disciples do? They run for their lives. They don't stay and defend. They don't stay and support. They run for their lives. But then after Jesus rose from the grave, then all of a sudden they've received the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Now all of a sudden, every disciple lost their life. They were martyred for their faith. They were willing to lay down their lives for the sake of Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit gave them a newfound boldness that they had never known before. Friends, listen. In the first century times were so tough. I mean, today, if somebody laughs at us for being a Christian, we're so offended and we're so upset. If somebody tries to tease us or put us down for being a Christian, we're so embarrassed and we don't know whether we can follow Christ anymore. We don't want anybody to know we're a Christian anymore because they might laugh at us. In the first century, Roman emperors were exterminating Christians like they were rats. Thousands of Christians were being martyred for their faith, and yet it did not slow these believers down because they had the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, so they continued to share Christ, and Christianity continued to spread across the globe through that first century. I'm just telling you guys, hear me. You and I have been empowered with the same Holy Spirit to do the same work that they were called to do, you were called to do. As a believer, that is our obligation. And while you may not yet know how to share your faith with others, every single one of you can extend an invitation to come and see. You know, you may say, well, Steve, I'm a fairly new Christian, or I've never gone through a class, or I don't know how to talk to people about Christ. Every one of us can simply invite people to come and see. That's what Philip did with his friend Nathanael. He didn't know the right words to say, so he just simply said, come and see for yourself. Look at it. He says, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then he says, Nazareth? He said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And Nathanael asked, and then Philip says, just come and see. So Nathanael is like, he's telling him all this, and Nathanael's like, he's wanting to debate it. He's wanting to argue with him. And Philip's like, look, I don't want to get in a debate with you. I don't want to argue. I just want you to come and see this man that changed my life. I just want you to come and see this man that put my family back together, restored my home, and it can change yours too. Please just come and see. I know inviting someone can be intimidating at times, but God will never ask you to do anything. Guys, listen to me on this. God will never ask you to do anything that he won't first empower you to carry it out. So take a risk and invite your friends to come and see. Paul said in Acts, he says, but my life, this is such a strong statement, but my life is worth nothing to me. I'm like, whoa, what's wrong with Paul? Paul's saying, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work, for finishing the mission assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. See, Paul had a spiritual aha moment. Paul got it. He understood that that's what I'm called to do. Once I accepted Christ, now I'm living on purpose. Now I'm living on mission because I know what the mission is. And the mission is telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And he says, unless I'm doing that, my life's worth nothing. My life doesn't matter. It's not significant. And I want my life to be significant. I want my life to count. And what's going to count is when we help other people discover a relationship with Christ. Guys, that should be what drives and motivates us. Because if you ignore your God-given mission, you're missing out on God's plan for your life. And is that really what you want? I mean, seriously, is that really what you want? Do you really want to miss God's best for your life? In Acts, the disciples wanted to talk to Jesus about prophecy. So they come to Jesus, and you know, the same thing is true today. You get Christians that they want to gather together and talk about prophetic events, and that's okay sometimes, but sometimes we get carried away. So they come to Jesus. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And so Jesus replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. And they are not for you to know. So Jesus is like, look, guys, let's not get into all of that. God alone is the one that establishes when that's going to be. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's like, that's what matters. What matters, guys, is not when I'm going to come back. What matters, guys, is that when you accepted me into your life, the power of the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. And you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus quickly brings the conversation back to mission, because that's what we're called to do. It's like we can get so muddled with everything else and miss the purpose of life, miss the purpose of mission. So I want you to see this last scene in the movie, The Martian, when they rescue astronaut Mark Watney. Watch this. Did you feel the emotion of that last scene? The joy that the entire world felt over the rescue of one man. This guy was lost, but has now been found. I've seen that because I did that, The Martian, for At the Movies. I've watched that scene probably 30 or 40 times, and even just now, I still get a lump in my throat as I watch him being rescued. Friends, that's what it's like to fulfill God's mission. There's so much joy when we help someone step across the line of faith. When you saw the whole world rejoicing because one man had been rescued, that's what it should be like. The whole church should be rejoicing when one person steps across the line of faith and discovers Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. We should be working together to rescue those that are far from God. But guys, listen to me, please. Our window of opportunity is closing. We only have a limited amount of time to reach our unchurched friends and family. You see, from the time Jesus, after his resurrection, he was then seen by over 500 people, and then he ascended to go back into heaven. And before he ascended to go back into heaven, as people were watching, he said to them, I'm going back to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back again for you. And then he goes off. They see him go off. And so what we have here is from that moment, from the moment he went off and ascended back to heaven until the time he comes back again, we have a gap of time. And that is our only window of opportunity to reach those that are far from Christ. That's it. And we don't know how long that window is. That window could be, it may be another 100 years from now. It may only be 100 days from now. We don't have any idea. But I do know that every day that goes by, we're one day closer to that being closed. And not only are we talking about that gap of time that we have, but if, let's say it is 100 years off, you and I are limited by our lifespan. So there comes a point where I have a gap of time from the time I accept Christ to the time I breathe my last breath is my only opportunity to win my friends and family to Christ. So what if I take my last breath tomorrow and I still have family that doesn't know him? I still have coworkers that don't know him. All I can do is hope that somebody else will share Christ with them. Because at that point, there's no guarantee that I'll ever see them for eternity in heaven. And so it's like today is the day. Now is our opportunity. Now the window is open. Now the gap is as wide as it's ever going to be. It's as wide as it's ever going to be. Tomorrow it's one day shorter. And we need to take full advantage of the opportunity to share Christ with those, to invite people to come and see. Listen, I don't know when Christ is going to come back. There is nothing, though, in prophecy left to be fulfilled. What I'm saying is that Christ could literally come today and it wouldn't be like, oh, he didn't fulfill this prophecy. It's all been fulfilled. I look at some of the things that Jesus told us about to watch for, and I believe that he could come at any time. But once that happens, our time is up and there's nothing else that we can do to reach our friends. Sandy, Bob Russell is a name some of you know. Bob Russell pastored Southeast. He's retired for many years, but he pastored Southeast Christian down in Louisville, and he's kind of the father of pastors. Everybody really looks to Bob Russell. He grew a huge church, one of the first huge churches in America. And so people looked to him for wisdom. I've had him preach here before. But anyway, we were with him, and Sandy was off talking to him. And Sandy said, you know, Steve really struggles with the whole idea that he's got to retire someday. He doesn't even, the thought of it, he doesn't even want to do. And she goes, I don't know how to help him or what to tell him. And he was, retire? Jesus is going to come back long before he ever retires. And I've said, I'm holding Bob Russell to that. So I don't know when he's coming back, guys, but I know that he's coming back very, very soon. So the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking on your life mission. We don't know how much time we have, but you have been called to live a life of adventure. You've been called to live a life on mission. And so I hope that by the time this series is done, you have one of those spiritual aha moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I get it. It's not just about a ticket to heaven. It's about fulfilling the mission that God's called me to. Let me pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness in our life. You are an amazing God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your long suffering with us. Thank you, God, for your patience with us. Forgive us, God, for any apathy or indifference that we tend to show. Forgive us, God, when we put other priorities and seem to try to make those more important in our life. Help us to see that living on mission needs to be our priority. God, remove the veils from our eyes. Help us to understand that we're called to this. God, you have passed the baton on to each and every one of us to represent you well. You've given us the task of reconciling people to you. So God, help us to be obedient to that responsibility. Thanks, God. We love you and we praise you. We just ask it all now in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week. Thanks for being here.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. If you have any questions or would like to speak with a pastor, please connect with us on our website or through social media. You can also find a Northview location to visit in person by going online to northviewchurch.us and then selecting the locations page. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great week.